Call number 766-6159. Inmate ID 181824. Date 2014-10-23. Time 1-4-2-7-4-4. Dialed number 1-4-3-4-2-4-2-6-9-4-8. From station 2-1-0-5. Press 1 for English.
Oprima el 2 para...
Press 1 to place a call. Please enter your PIN number, followed... After the tone, please say your first and last name.
Frazier Miller.
Press 0 to make a collect call or speed dial call. Press 1 to make a debit call. Press 2 to make a calling card. Press 2 to transfer funds from one card to another. Press 1 to make a call. Please enter your calling card number followed by the pound sign. Your account balance is $6.85. For calls within the United States, Canada, and the Caribbean, please enter the area code, prefix, and number. To make an international call, your account balance is $6.85. The cost of this call will be an operator service charge of $3.15, excluding taxes and other applicable fees. The time limit is 15 minutes. Hello, you have a call at no expense to you from
Glenn Miller,
an inmate at
Johnson County Adult Detention.
To accept this call, press or say 5. To refuse this call, hang up now. To block this call will be recorded and subject to monitoring at any time. Thank you for using IC Solutions. You may begin speaking now.
Hey, this is Rob.
Hello.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you quite clearly.
Okay, good. You got the recording on?
Yes, I am recording.
Okay, well, I'll just dig right in then. My name is Glenn Miller. Today is Thursday, 23 October 2014, 2:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm calling from the Johnson County Adult Detention Center in Olathe, Kansas. Cell block 5D, cell number 10. The reason I'm doing this and making this recording is because I fear they're going to gag me real quick now, because I found out yesterday from my attorney that they decided to seek the death penalty. And I didn't know that previously. So I just want to, you know, get it down for the record, the truth about the story. Anyway, actions in the Jewish Community Center in Overland Park, Kansas on the 6th of April this year, 2014, was done by me, I confess, at this time. Why did I do it? Because my conscience compelled me to kill Jews, that's why. And I feel perfectly justified in it. About 3 weeks prior to April the 13th, I went to the emergency room with emphysema. I had severe emphysema, and I thought I was dying. And that's what spurred me to start acting, because my biggest fear was that I would die before I'd kill some Jews. So that's what got me started and decided to do it at this time. I reconnoitered the place several times. I was about five different trips up there. And first time I went up there, I didn't take any weapons at all. I feared that my vehicle was being traced by satellite. So I just went up and drove around the Jewish Community Center and walked around it and just to see if I would get arrested. And I was not. I was not stopped. So that told me pretty much that I was free to go. But still, I thought sure they'd have some armed guards there. And I learned later that they did, in fact, have three guards on duty there. Depositions. I learned that through depositions. But anyway, I did it. And I'd like to say that after I did it, immediately after I killed those people, I thought they were Jews, of course. I had never felt such exhilaration, overpowering joy, total, absolute freedom. It was a feeling I've never had since 1967 when I became Jew-wise. And even though at those moments I feared I'd be shot, I thought, sure, you know, a big Jewish event like that, you know, with hundreds of people there, they'd have lots of armed guards to guard the place. Anybody would think that. But anyway, I did it. Now, the 14-year-old kid, of course, I regret. It was dark, it was a cloudy, rainy day. The kid was inside of the vehicle. And when I looked at him, he looked 20. I made a conscious decision to kill him. Based on the fact that he was dark, he looked 20, and I was totally convinced he was a Jew. Same way with his grandfather. And I shot the boy from the other side of the vehicle, from the driver's side, and he was in the passenger side. So I didn't get a good look at him. I do regret that. Like I said, I thought they were all Jews. What the hell are white Gentiles doing at the Jewish Community Center? I mean, you don't expect to see Jews at a Christian Community Center, do you? I didn't expect it would be any there. And I read a pamphlet about the contest they were having today, and it said that young Jews from all over would be participating. So I thought only Jews were going to be participating. There would probably be practically no white Gentiles there. That was important.
All calls with the exception of attorney privileged calls are subject to monitoring and recording.
You know, like I say, my conscience drove me to do it. I've been a fanatic Jew hater ever since 1967. It consumed my mind every day of my life since then. And as everybody knows, I'm a fanatic. And I'm proud of that. And I feel to this minute that I did my duty and my conscience is clear. And I'll go to my maker with rewards and a clear conscience. That's what I believe. Like I said, that out yesterday from my lawyer, who I hadn't seen in over a month, by the way. He in my opinion, he wants me to fire him, and he's doing everything he can to convince me to fire him, and I probably will, and I'll probably defend myself. I'm thinking strongly about that. He told me yesterday that he was gagged, so I fear I'm going to be gagged as well, so I wanted to get this done before that happens. After I killed those three people, of course I thought I'd kill four or five Jews. That was in my mind. And I knew that because the place is so sparsely populated up there, every time I reconnoitered it several times, six or seven times, and there was never more than just two or three people in one spot. And I've got emphysema, so I can't run around chasing people. But anyway, I did what I did, and I'm making a complete confession right now. The DA is going for the death penalty, which means that I'll be going to El Dorado, Kansas, which is where the death row is. I don't know how long that'll be. It won't be until after the trial. I'm going to go for a speedy trial, probably, depending on how the woman that I shot at the what do you call it, Shalom Village, which is a kind of a rest home for old Jews. If you look at her, she looks like the stereotypical Jew. I mean, I look, got a good look at her from just 10 feet away, and I would have sworn at the time she was a Jew. Well, that night I shot her, immediately another woman passed behind her car about 15 feet from me. She was light colored. She did not look like a Jew. I pointed a shotgun at her. I was going to kill her. But something told me she was not a Jew. She was just light colored, very dramatic looking. Anyway, I yelled at her. I said, "Are you a Jew?" And she didn't realize what was going on at the time. She said, "What?" So I yelled at her again, "Are you a Jew?" And that's when it dawned on her what had just taken place. And she yelled at me, "No." So I, of course, let her live. And then, expecting to be shot any time, I left the area. Well, intended to, you know, I've got to leave. I wasn't about to make a run for it. I had to have my medication every 4 hours. I'd die. But anyway, I drove a few blocks down the street. I just saw a elementary school. It was closed. I pulled in there, pulled around, parked toward the front, got out of the car, went over and sat on a big rock that was part of the landscape in front of the school. And I got my wife's cell phone out, and I called 911 to turn myself in and tell them where I was at. He rang about 10 times, no answer. Now, that phone call had been confirmed by the cops checked my wife's cell phone, and they had confirmed my call to 911. So that proved I'm trying to turn myself in. Okay, and of course, that just a few minutes after that, no answer. I walked back to my car calmly, sat in my car, and I reached in my back seat, pulled out a paper bag, which contained a bottle of a wild turkey with honey. And I had a note already written inside of the bag, and the note said, "Do not open until mission is accomplished." Now, I hadn't drank any whiskey in probably at least 10 years. I even had a beer in about 2 or 3 years. But anyway.
All calls with the exception of attorney privileged calls are subject to monitoring.
I decided to treat myself to a few drinks. So I took 3 or 4 slugs from that whiskey bottle. It went down very well, by the way. A friend of mine recommended me wild turkey with honey. Anyway, it went down good, pretty good. Just by the time I took the 4th swig, the cop pulled up, white cop, and yelled for me to get out and get on the grass and surrender, which I did at that time. Well, while I was sitting in the car, I was yelling Heil Hitler to the bystanders. There were a lot of bystanders, a lot of reporters around with TV cameras. In other words, I wasn't trying to hide it. I never had tried to hide it, the fact that I did this. And after a few minutes, they brought witnesses up in separate police cars. And I yelled at them, "You goddamn Jews, I wish I'd killed all of you." And gave the Heil Hitler salute. All that's on camera. So, of course, I never at any time planned to deny this, because I did this. I did it, and I'm proud of it. I planned it. I plotted it. I schemed it. My biggest fear was that I would get caught before I did it, because I always thought my telephone and my computer were being monitored by the feds, but I found out that was not the case. Because I was looking at Jewish facilities on my computer for the last week or two. And that's how I found out about that Jewish talent contest on the 13th of April. And that's when I decided to carry through on my plan. After my arrest, maybe a month or two after my arrest, my attorney got with the DA, and they hired an insurance company with my permission, signed permission, to determine how much long I've got to live, that they compared my emphysema records, health records, with a million other emphysema patients who have already died. A million. And they came up with three statistics. I have an 18% correction, 82% chance of living 1 year. I've got a 64% chance of living 2 years. And I've got a 48% chance of living 3 years. So I believe that's probably accurate, if I can make it that long. I had a pretty rough time in here for the first 6 weeks because they wouldn't give me my proper medication, which is Brovana and Imacort, which is two liquid vials you inhale 10 minutes each, two times a day. And I didn't get it for six damn weeks. And I was having five or six exasperations, severe exasperations every day. Some of them were near-death experiences. And I believe, honestly, that they were deliberately trying to kill me. Almost all the guards and nurses here, of course, hate my guts. Two of them are Jews. Two of the nurses are Jews, and two of the mental health workers are Jews. I know they are because I can tell, and I asked them, and I can tell by the answers they are. And I put in an original request that they'd not be allowed to serve me because I'm an anti-Semite and
1 minute.
Take my guts on. Okay, I'm going to call you back. You can just cut that off, and I'll call you back. I've got some more to say. Is that okay with you?
As long as it's not too long, yes.
Okay. I'll call you back in about 5 minutes.